you gonna do, brother? We about to run wild with a style like no other. So somebody call Brodus Clay mother and tell her Richard runs on the men like Ed Lover and Doc Dre. What Scott say, what they hang on every word like it's something that the Rock say. No JR, but they talking wrestling. We bring the noise with the boys, son, we Dalton Castlin. So masculine, oozing machismo, mutton chop shop, Gran Turismo. No free throws, snout hoops and heels. It's D-Bron's retirement, give you the super feels. Straight shoot, it's real. Drop a pipe bomb, get rid of the bull like the Rock's right arm. So stay calm, tranquilo. I'll go Naito and give him Destino. And we know that you chumps ain't ready for the heartbreak runs and the Cuban Jannetty. They drop a heavy tag teaming like Teddy. Long go strong with the heat like Eddie. So steady like when Taker walked the tightrope. Spaz like Taz with the mic and a tight choke. Dirtiest player in the game with the eye poke. 1988 Macho Man on a line of coke. These other casts are a waste, they boring. Illegitimate sons like Jason Jordan. And Rich and Runs never give him respect unless they going on air with a broken frickin' neck. So bounce like Papa Pump's pecs. Every time they get down, they bound to catch wreck. Y'all don't know nada, they the Okadas. You're the Washington Generals, they the Globetrotters. A whole lot of podcasts on the scene, but Rich and Runs running wild is the cast of your dreams. So it seems these two is too sweet. Bullet Club pulling up with schemes to delete. So retreat, we steal, we cheat. But I never lie, I swear on these beats. And these two got some styles for you. But what you gonna do when they run wild on you?
Do you want to let everyone know that you get it? Do you not want to be a Melvin? Well, then listen to the Running Wild podcast. And if you don't, you know what you are.
I'm the last real man, Silas Young. And if you're any kind of man, you'll be listening to the Running Wild podcast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Running Wild Podcast. I'm your co-host, Rich. Alongside me, as always, my co-host, Runs.
Yes, sir.
So, to remind you, before we get started, we're brought to you in partnership with PWPonderings.com, ROHWorld.com, LastWordOnProWrestling.com, and we're featured on the Wrestling to the Max Network. So, we got a Hell in a Cell pay-per-view to preview this week. We also have an interview with Ring of Honor commentator Rico de la Vega. So, we have a lot of stuff to cover this week. Let's just head right into it. So, also, of course, we have Comic-Con weekend, so just for you guys knowing, next week, I think I'm stopping by. I got a chance to talk to the creator of Headlocked Comics. If you guys are listening to this on Saturday or Sunday, and you got a chance to head over to Comic-Con, you're in the building, make sure you stop by booth 137. He's doing a lot of great work. He's actually been working with Boom Studios to create some of the WWE stories over there. And he's like been working with like AJ Styles. At the booth this weekend, he's got DDP and Christian and Lita. But just he's been pairing up with a lot of guys to work on his comic and do exclusive stuff. They're featured in Pro Wrestle Crate. So definitely a comic to check out if you like wrestling and comic books. All right, so we got Hell in a Cell. What did you think about... Well, I guess before we get into Hell in a Cell, because SmackDown will tie into it, do you remember anything from Raw?
Nope.
All right. I mean, the biggest thing I think at the end was...
Oh, well...
Go ahead.
The biggest thing that I thoroughly love was WWE saying, hey, listen, if we're going to reunite the Shield, it cannot be with Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel. Because if that wasn't the most obvious replacement thing of all time...
Those...
For Sheamus and Cesaro to be the tag team element of that three-way was... Makes a lot more sense.
Those poor motherfuckers. Like, I mean...
Hey, these guys never get a shot, and now we're giving you a shot, but we're still not going to give them a shot.
It's... That's the thing that...
It was the right move, though.
No, okay. I get it. But they've been working hard. I mean, you know, they've been out there. They've been with them. They've been good. I've liked them with Miz.
But you don't reunite the Shield against... Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel. You just don't do it.
Yeah, no. I get it's got to be a bigger opponent. It just upset... I pictured myself as one of those two guys. Like, that's easily my situation, you know? I show up to a game to play. I think I'm going to play offense. Someone randomly shows up, and then they just get to play. Like, you know, it just... I feel like that's the story of my life. I feel like I'm going to be there. I've been working hard at it.
That was a good analogy. I can't argue with
you. Right? And then somebody just shows, oh, shit, this guy's here. He's going to play. And I'm like, damn, all I wanted to do.
It's the championship. Hey, they got a fast quarterback, so we're going to switch it up.
That was the worst. Yeah, no, that's actually, that was it. Me playing Gifford. Well, yeah, no, that legit did happen, and I was legitimately heartbroken. There's nothing I liked better than running hard to the end zone, knowing full well that I wasn't going to get the ball, but that I was going to make someone think I was going to. So poor Bo Dallas. I feel bad for them. But I don't know. Maybe I might be like weird here. I don't know if I'm super excited about the Shield getting back together.
I don't know. It's pretty cool. It's been long enough where it matters, and all of the history that they have with each other afterwards, it's cool to see them back together. And I wouldn't have cared if it was Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel, but the change to Sheamus and Cesaro makes them seem like a legitimate threat. It legitimizes The Miz in this feud. So I'm all for that, and I don't know. I'm kind of looking forward to it. The crowd went nuts when they were just backstage. I'm very glad they didn't put the fist in back there, because okay. it.
I'm 12 years old. I'm sorry.
Right. That would have been anticlimactic. So I'm glad they're going to save it for probably when they're in the ring in the coming weeks. So. Good idea, smart move, and you know I'm looking forward to what this has to offer.
Yeah, I mean that putting the fist in is going to be like Macho Man Hogan almost, right? Shaking.
Well, it's going to be when Ambrose and Rollins did it, right, and the crowd exploded. Now, when all three of them are there, it's probably going to be insane.
No, I'm really, I want to see it, but I'm not going to say that I've been. I feel like there's a section of the fan base that's super excited about this, and I'm not there.
But I don't know why. Like, the Shield is everything that you want from wrestling, right? They came in right from NXT as three heel guys. They dominated forever. They won everything they could as the Shield. And then they all went their separate ways, and they all won the world title. They all won other titles. So it doesn't get much bigger than the Shield, you know, and that isn't lost on me. So I'm looking forward to that.
All right. Fair enough. And I know a lot of people are. And maybe when the moment happens, I'll be a little bit more excited. I don't know. I guess just...
It would just be... You know, The Miz and Sheamus and Cesaro is a good pairing. But if there was the Wyatt family dominating, or if there was some heel stable that had been dominating for a while, it would make it, you know, cooler. But I'm not against it with these guys.
You know what it is, I think, for me, is that we already had two of them teaming, and they're the champions. So right. I almost feel like if it would have happened without Ambrose and Rollins being a team, if they were all separately being dominated by this group, and then they were like, yo, you know what, guys? We just need to do this.
You know, it would have been more like out of nowhere. Yeah. But I don't know. Like, I like them being the tag champs. I like that precursor to all three of them. It gave credence to why Roman would now like accept it. You know, like, oh, okay. Hey, look, these guys buried the hatchet. All right. Well, let's do it. So, I don't know.
All right, fair enough. I mean, the rest of the Raw, I was excited about one thing. Other than that, Bray Wyatt. Now, the reports are weird out of this, but basically Bray Wyatt had like that supernatural thing, and you heard a voice in the background. You know, we've been talking about, or... This, you know, people have been talking about the idea that Sister Abigail would finally be a person who actually showed up. So now reports are coming out that it could just be like a new persona for Wyatt. So let's hope that he's not cross-dressing or something. I don't really... It seems that the Sister Abigail thing is going to be something. I don't think it's just...
Paige.
Well, that's the smart money, but the things that I'm seeing are actually having nothing to do with it actually being a person and it just being some sort of persona for him. So,
yeah, either way.
I mean, it actually got interested in Bray again, which is,
it's what they need to do. They need to freshen him up, so any change is welcome. Look at what adding Maurice did for The Miz, you know, now. Yeah, okay, maybe he's not getting a female valet and blah, 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 but any little tweak to a talented performer can push them over the top at the moment. So, you know, that's a welcome change.
So, I know you've been off the internet a little bit, and I guess we'll just wrap Raw up with this question. Some people are kind of upset with the way the WWE has portrayed Warrior. You know, I don't know if you were somebody who sat down and watched a lot of his crazy rants, but basically, you know, he was kind of an offensive person, and now, like, during this Susan G. Coleman month, you know, they had Dana Warrior out there, and they kind of keep pushing this narrative that he was this fantastic individual, where, you know, if you watch those videos, he really wasn't. He had some really effed up views. Do you have any issue with them kind of pushing this narrative that the WWE Warrior almost was a good guy and somebody that we should all remember as being, for lack of a better term, a warrior?
No, because...
Like, you can go back and listen to videos where he's going on...
But I choose not to remember people in that light. You know, after they're gone, like, yeah, he was crazy. Like, his name was Warrior, right? Like, there were things about the guy that were, you know, very unique and very out there. So, it's just, that's, those kind of crazy views come when someone is not all there, you know, but it is what it is at this point. He did the right thing on the way out, and he had, you know, maybe his come into peace moment with the WWE and all that stuff that they had done wrong to him also. So, you know, I don't know. It is what it is. I don't have any problem with that, and it's good for Dana Warrior. You know, that's a nice role for her to be in with them, and, you know, some good comes out of the tragedy for them.
Certainly, yeah. And also, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention, so, of course, the Lucha masks came in last week, which I was very excited about, and I actually wore during our taping, and switched masks just to mess with you. But an update to this is that Charles is now doing the Lucha chant, and he doesn't have to even be a mask. We were just sitting around. He was playing with his trucks. And then he just started saying, Lucha, Lucha, and moving his arms up and down. So I'm very excited to see Kalisto confronting Enzo Amore, because I think this might be the in where I finally get him to watch an episode of wrestling.
Yeah, I was, I guess I was surprised to see Kalisto. When that whole thing was going down, I was really curious as to who was about to come out, and I was happy it was Kalisto, and that'll be fine. I'm enjoying this Enzo stuff. It is entertaining. I don't really know what else to say. Like, you know, everything that's being said is there's some truth to it all. What Enzo's saying and what the cruiserweights are saying, you know, so it's kind of fun.
Oh yeah, it's blurring that line of reality, which, you know, for people like us who podcast about this every single week and analyze it way too much, it's fun to not know where they're going sometimes.
Right. And you know, I love, like, Enzo's been posting crazy amounts of pictures with it on Instagram with the belt everywhere. That's awesome. You know, like, WWE has to be thrilled with that. And it's a great move to put the belt on someone like Enzo with the star power that he has and all that sort of thing, you know, and for someone like me who, one, didn't care about the cruiserweights, and two, didn't care about Enzo and was done with him after this whole thing. It's reinvigorated both of those, you know, things. I suddenly do care about what's going on with the Cruiserweights, and I have an affinity for this heel Enzo character because it's everything that it should be, right? He should be rubbing this in all their faces and doing all that sort of thing. So it's a good job by them.
Huh, totally agreed. So moving on to SmackDown / Hell in a Cell. I think we could just really cover most of SmackDown by going over Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
Exciting news, the Fashion Files will return at Hell in a Cell. I mean, do we find out who attacked them and who left them, right? Because the last we saw of them, they were attacked and the camera...
Oh, is that thing still going on?
I think so. I don't know. What if we get somebody else coming up? I think that would be kind of...
It's been so long, I guess I forgot what the hell...
Yeah, I think the last thing that happened was they were about to reveal who they thought it was, and then they both got attacked and like kind of like Blair Witch style, the camera's on the floor, like looking at them, but you couldn't see the attacker. So I'm kind of hyped for it. I don't know. I really like the Fashion Files, and it's been a part of SmackDown that I've kind of missed. All right, so aside from that, then on the kickoff, we have Gable and Benjamin versus the Hype Bros. I mean, I think this is going to be... I think Ryder... So on social media, Ryder's... I mean, he's always been friendly with Dolph Ziggler, but I kind of feel like this might be Ryder turning on his partner. What do you think?
I guess... I haven't thought about that because I thought about it a few weeks ago and then they like smoothed it over. So I guess I just assume like that was the story. That was it. It was done. But I guess, yeah, that could make sense. I wouldn't really want to see him and Dolph though. I would rather see like a little heel stable or something like that with the three of them.
That would be cool. But on a side note, just for the listening audience, the reason I said his partner and not Mojo Rawley was because I said Mojo, I thought of Mojo Jojo from Powerpuff Girls, and I knew that was wrong. So I had to find a way out of that. But I think that no matter what, I think Gable and Benjamin go over here.
Yeah, I guess, again, because... Ryder and Mojo are on this little storyline and redemption. So I guess if they lose, then, you know, what you're saying could go down where it just switches and one of them gets angry. So I guess that would make sense. But yeah.
Then we have, I'm not sure if you guys know, if you know this, that this is actually happening this weekend. Randy Orton is taking on Rusev because I didn't feel like SmackDown really pushed that.
No.
At all. You would think that... Okay, I feel like Orton's going to get the win because he hasn't gotten a win in a while. It's terrible. I think Rusev should win. But I think... I feel like Orton's going to just walk away the winner here because he lost, what, 3 straight pay-per-views to Jinder Mahal?
Yes, but then he beat Rusev. They went 1-1, right? So I guess this is the third... deciding match.
Orton did say on social media that he wants to be a heel so that he can just get fat. So he legitimately said that. Like, I kind of want to be heel so I can be fat. So I would like to see Orton turn heel here so he could just start packing on the pounds. Imagine in like 3 months Orton's bigger than Rusev. Like, that would be amazing. He starts wrestling in a t-shirt like Kevin Owens? Like, come on. Yeah, imagine the pose when he's got just his gut hanging over. So I'm not really looking forward to the match. I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing Rusev, but, I mean, for me, the RKO out of nowhere thing is not as exciting as it used to be. First of all, it was never as exciting as DDP, because I feel like DDPs were really out of nowhere. Where I think Orton's are out of somewhere.
Nah, I disagree with that one, but yeah.
Just on a side note, nobody else would have laughed at that, but I got StatWife. She popped for that one, like, hardcore. So I'm very excited that one person's laughing about that terrible, terrible joke. Then, so you're gonna are you gonna go with Orton or Rusev?
I'll go with Rusev, just for the hell of it.
All right, and I'm gonna go with Orton just because I want to be contrarian. We have some different picks here. Then
yeah,
we
contrarian, right?
We have Bobby Roode versus Dolph Ziggler. I don't know. I'm excited about this in some ways, but I'm not particularly happy that Bobby Roode is a face.
Yeah, I don't really mind. You know, we've discussed before how they knew he was going to get that reaction, and there was no real way around this to jumpstart everything. So I'm fine with it. I'm enjoying this feud with Dolph. I've loved what he's been doing. So I really, this is a tough one to call because they both could really use one right now.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, you think
I didn't appreciate Mike Bennett being squashed the other day. I forgot he was even on the roster, but that was just rough to see him there. Like, oh, okay, I guess we're just done with you.
I mean, and this is the problem, right? I mean, this is my issue with WWE signing all this talent. It just feels like at a certain point they're. I almost feel like they're taking guys.
I don't know that it's signing too much talent. It's they gave him a dumb gimmick and now it's not working. Like I just think it's that, okay. You know.
Well, yeah.
Like, yes, there is, you know, too much talent, but you need that kind of stuff when you have 7 shows.
Yeah. I just feel like they're these guys that could be, I mean, I'm going to be selfish and Ring of Honor centric. These are guys that, you know, were in like Ring of Honor, like, you know, like Bennett. And I mean, him being on that roster would be a big deal right now.
I guess it wasn't really a big deal when he was there.
The Kingdom, motherfucker. Oh, man. I can't. All right.
What did they ever do?
They won the tag team titles.
Oh, okay.
All right. Well, then we have AJ Styles versus Baron Corbin, who essentially lost clean to Ty Dillinger on SmackDown. I mean, unless they're just trying to bury him forever, you would think that Corbin somehow cheats and walks away with the title here?
I don't. I hope not. I'd rather AJ.
No, me too. But why, like, if you're thinking about this, why would you have him lose clean to a guy who's not going to be part of that match if he's not going to end up winning it?
I don't know. Why would you have him beat AJ Styles after he loses to Ty Dillinger?
Well, exactly. Unless you're just, you know, it felt like there was a time where he was being...
Right, and then he messed up in whatever way he did, and... They're giving him a reality check. So it would be weird. I don't know.
Wait. They're giving him the Miz's finishing move?
Yep.
Sorry about that one, guys. All right. So you're going to go with AJ. I'm going with Corbin.
Sure.
All right. Then we have the SmackDown Tag Team Champions, The New Day, versus The Usos in a Hell in a Cell match. So we still don't know who... is actually going to be in the cell for New Day, right?
I don't believe so.
Who do you think are the two?
I have no idea.
So I'm going to go by the graphic.
It doesn't really matter.
I'm going by the graphic, and Xavier and Big E are wearing the titles, and Kofi's just in the background.
Right, that one makes sense.
I don't think you can give it to the Usos here. Don't you think... At this point, like, it needs to be the faces going over? Like, this is a big blow-off?
I wouldn't have a problem with the Usos winning, nor would I bet against WWE changing the tag titles. We know they're trying to get the New Day, the tag title reign, the tag title victory record, or whatever the case. So, you know, it could always flip back and forth. But I don't know. Like, I enjoy that the Usos can sell this as the Uso Penitentiary and all that kind of thing. And, you know, I wouldn't be opposed to either way. And so I'm just going to enjoy the hell out of this one.
I think this show might really kind of break our, at this point, our predictions right here. Like, we're usually pretty close, but tonight, I mean, or for this show, I think we have such different views that right now, we agreed on...
You picked all the good guys, or except Baron Corbin.
Damn it, I did. All right. It's not that I'm a mark and I don't know what's happening. All right, I'm going to go with New Day hanging onto the straps, and you're going to go officially with Day One-ish, Usos keeping it.
Yeah, sure.
Then we have a SmackDown Women's Champion, Natalya, versus Charlotte Flair. I don't see a title change here. I think this is going to be a program that's drawn out a little bit. I've kind of heard some people talking about how Carmella might cash in here, but I feel like the only way Carmella cashes in, personally, is if Flair wins and then she screws her out of it right afterwards. I don't see like Natalya defending it successfully and then Carmella comes out.
Completely agree with you. And as you were talking and not mentioning that Carmella could cash in, I was kind of laughing because I feel like that's what very well could happen. With Charlotte coming back, winning the title, feel good moment, boom, Carmella, a little bit forgotten about, not really because she's involved in the storyline, but, you know, people aren't as hopeful for a cash in as they were for the last two SmackDown pay per views. So, I don't know, it could happen, but who knows? So, for the record, I'll say Charlotte and a cash-in. But, you know, that's just wishful thinking, I guess.
I think you're going to be right. Charlotte is not... She's no longer undefeated, correct? Pay-per-views?
So.
That already went out the window. All right. I mean, I feel like you're going to be right. I just wonder if it would be, like, at one more show.
Yeah, that, you know, it could definitely be stretched out, and Natty can cheat to win this one, you know, make Charlotte even more of the baby face and proceed from there. So it could very well go either way.
Do you like Charlotte as a baby face?
I mean, she's a better heel, but as a heel, I was kind of getting not done with her because she's awesome, but it was kind of just the same thing over and over. So
mm-hmm.
Her being the babyface, and now with, I mean, you know, not that it's a good thing, but Ric Flair's health plays into her babyface factor quite a bit. So I think it's a perfect time for her to be babyface, and at some point down the line, she can very well screw Becky Lynch and, you know, we're right down the heel track again.
Yeah, that's interesting. Okay, I agree. I mean, I definitely like her better as a heel. But it's the same almost with her father. I liked him so much more as a heel than I did as a babyface.
Right. And they're probably vastly similar in how they play that role, you know? So
now, in a weird... I think it's a little weird spot. I mean, you have... Of course, there's a reason for it, but you have Mahal versus Shinsuke. It's not an Hell in a Cell. I mean, a lot of times when we're in a situation, the title would be there as of late in these... in the last couple of years, when you have Hell in a Cell, usually the champion is in... You know, the championship is defending the match. So, especially with all the interference, I mean, what's different about this match than last time? What's going to stop the Singh brothers from interfering?
Yeah, like, I don't understand why this isn't in Hell in a Cell. Like, this makes absolute, complete, perfect sense to be in Hell in a Cell. They already had a match. The Singh brothers cheated. They've cheated every other gender match that's happened. So, this is the match that, you know, really makes sense to be in the Cell. And it makes me question, like, it's not going to be the main event, right? So, do you put Shinsuke over in not a main event? I don't know.
And then if he doesn't win, what happens?
All right, then what?
All right. I just don't...
because, like, so like, let's say the Singh brothers interfere. Like, then what? Do you have a cage match at the next pay-per-view? Sorry, we weren't ready last month. We already had two other ones. We're going to just push this. Like, what do you do? I don't know. I guess maybe he just does get the win, and we get a Shinsuke title win, and then Owens main event win, right? Because that would be against the grain, too, to have a heel with the victory in the main event. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't... All right, so... Whew. I'm going to go with Mahal. I just don't feel like this is a big enough moment for this to be a title switch for the WWE Championship. You know, and it's not the title that's on Raw, but it's still the WWE... It's the WWE Championship. It's the belt that, you know, supposedly this is the lineage of the WWE. So I don't know. I just feel like it's not a big enough moment. So you're going to go with Knock?
Yeah.
All right. And then we have Shane McMahon versus Kevin Owens in the Hell in a Cell, Falls Count Anywhere match. So are they just giving us the ending that it has to happen outside the cell?
Or it happens on top of the cell, something like that.
Like a pop-up powerbomb on top of the cell?
Right, like maybe he sets up a table and some chairs up there, and they do something like that.
Hold on, if Kevin Owens can fucking get a table and chairs up on the top of the cell...
Maybe it'll be on top of the cell.
Okay. Oh, or...
Like the table will already be up there.
It could be the greatest video game moment ever. And he pop up power bombs him off the top of the fucking cell.
That, like... I don't know. Jesus Christ.
Ladies and gentlemen...
If Kevin Owens powerbombs Shane off the cell, it's a good thing we don't have work on Monday, because I'll need to recuperate.
Yeah, I don't think I could see that. I mean...
Holy shit.
It's the first thing I thought when I heard that it was, you know, that they made it Falls Count Anywhere. But Jesus Christ, please don't. Please don't, WWE.
Then you better give us the old Hell in the Cell. Like, not the new one. I don't know.
Lower it, and then the announce table is randomly on a platform.
Right.
10 feet in the air.
It's just that, like... Shane jumped off the last one. Now he's fighting in it again. Something has to happen. This storyline involves Vince McMahon getting headbutted and beat up and frog splashed.
That was amazing.
This is a meaningful Hell in a Cell. You know, like this is a grudge match. I don't know.
I still want to call out Adam Pearce for not doing more to block that frog splash, but...
trying to break his back,
huh? I mean, look, Shane McMahon is so crazy that this guy did the motion capture for his moves for the video game?
Okay.
No, like, he did the shooting star press to, like, the middle of the ring. Like, just nobody's there, no padding. Like, he's just got the mocap stuff on and just does that. Like,
I'm sure there's padding.
Well, I mean,
I don't think they're just taking all these bumps.
But I mean, I just can't even believe that he would do that. Like, it's Shane McMahon.
Okay.
Like, you're gonna... Well, I mean, unfortunately, Triple H is in the way. But, you know, you've got a claim to run this company once your dad's not there anymore. And he's...
I don't know, like, how many people have ever gotten injured during mocap. It can't be a lot.
Listen, I got injured... freaking jumping up to stop a tall quarterback from throwing the ball.
Right,
I'm sure
right.
That you can get injured
these
during mocap.
These guys are professional athletes.
Whoa. I'm professional.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. That's half of it.
So what do you think? I mean, earlier you said you think Owens, the non-traditional spot here would be the heel going over not and Shane not getting his comeuppance. I tend to agree with you. It's so weird. I mean, Owens is so over, though. I feel like if he wins, it's not going to be like the crowd's going to be booing.
Right. It wouldn't be that much of a negative reaction, but people love Shane, so that helps. But I don't know. You know, I feel a little like they're trying to throw us off the scent with Kevin Owens beating up Shane on SmackDown. But, you know, I think it's a bad idea for Shane to beat Kevin Owens in whatever way. I think Kevin Owens needs a win here, and I think it would be good for him to be able to come to SmackDown and throw that in everyone's face.
Yeah. He has to go over. And I think this is, you know, he did have the Universal title, but I think this is going to be the real push for him going forward.
I mean, the guy headbutted Vince McMahon and frog splashed him. That's a push. That's what 10 people like have, you know, gotten that spot. And recently, it's only been CM Punk, right? Has there been anyone else to feud with the McMahons? Vince in particular?
I mean, I can't think of anyone who didn't really go. I mean, Hornswoggle? No. I'm trying to think of someone who feuded and it wasn't important.
That's what I'm saying. If you're feuding with Vince McMahon, it's important. It's of the utmost importance and the utmost, like, they have a respect for you. And, you know, we said it for the past couple weeks that the headbutt, the frog splash, all that stuff, that's a seal of approval from Vince. So it would be tough for Kevin Owens to lose after that. But, you know, stranger things have happened, and it doesn't mean the end of the world if he does, but I'm expecting him to get the win here.
All right. I'm in agreement there. As we're running the episode, I believe I am ready for our two truths, one lie before we head into the interview this week.
Is that still a thing? I thought you gave up.
Well, this is the last week I can do it, so I believe I have enough to go forward with.
I ruined all of your good stuff.
Yes, you do.
By getting random emails. But I mean, war games. There's a couple little things we can discuss here, right? NXT War Games. Fucking thank you, Triple H. Oh, you're the greatest of all time.
Do you think he just shoots down ideas? He just shot down ideas like 2 years ago, and he's like, I'm going to keep this motherfucking idea, and I'm going to use it.
No. It's, hey, Vince, let's do this. Nah, I don't think it'll work. Okay, watch it. That's what this is. Wow, I couldn't be more excited. NXT, where characters actually matter, where storylines actually matter, where they have a amazing heel faction that just showed up that will be perfect in a War Games. Usually, what, 5-on-5, right? So, hey, seems like they're going to need a couple more members there, Mr. Dijak. Man. Couldn't be more excited for this.
So is it 5-on-5?
This is going to be awesome.
Because War Games was traditionally
4-on-4, 5-on-5.
But I think what they announced. So now all you know is about War Games, right? Do you know about anyone who's about the participants?
No, I just saw the picture.
Okay, so I'm going to just come out there. Maybe it's kind of spoilers, but it seems like it's going to be 3 teams.
Of 3?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're going to have...
Little twist.
So it's going to be Sanity, Undisputed Era, and then Roddy and the Authors of Pain.
Okay. I guess we'll find out how that comes to be. Because on the end of NXT this week, the Undisputed Era was talking to Roddy Strong, and it seemed like maybe he would be joining up with them. So that'll be interesting... twist and whatever to see what's going on there. That was the other thing I wanted to mention. I've really enjoyed NXT the past couple weeks. The way that Adam Cole,
baby,
in his promo said you know, we are untouchable, undisputed, and this is our era. I was like, oh, okay, that's fine. You know, so the way he did that promo made me okay with the name, and I was fine. So that's just kudos to them. It's crazy watching Adam Cole wrestle on NXT with Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish. It's freaking awesome. So, you know, that it's been a lot of fun watching this one.
No, yeah, I watched it after the fact this week just because I was indisposed. But no, definitely it's been the best thing that WWE has been putting out lately.
And I don't even, you know, that's not even like fair. Like Adam Cole, it's just Adam Cole, and he's awesome. So that was, you know, a great signing for them and a great decision to put him with these guys he's so familiar with and has such a good history with and chemistry.
And we still haven't seen we still haven't really seen Donovan Dijak, or, you know, we're just starting to see Lio Rush.
We got to see Lio Rush, right? And I loved Velveteen Dream attacking him, right? Because they're boys. They were tag team champs coming up. So that's cool. That immediately puts them into having some type of history when Rush is, you know, more concrete part of the roster. Really looking forward to and enjoying this Velveteen Dream, Aleister Black storyline. It's kind of like old school Goldust and Undertaker, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, where Aleister Black is just so straight-laced and this badass and not looking at him, and, you know, Velveteen Dream just wants that attention. So I love that storyline. I'm definitely anticipating, you know, some good matches coming from them.
100%. And is that the only news we could touch on before I get into the two truths?
Yeah, I believe that's all I had.
All right. So, two truths, one lie. Are you ready?
Yeah, I mean, enjoy it, because this is it. Hopefully.
All right.
I better have those PWG DVDs Tuesday.
So, two truths, one lie. Here we go. On Conversations with the Big Guy, Pat Buck has been replaced by a porn star. Number two, Billy Corgan, as the head of NWA, is saying that he's going to bring back the Big Gold Championship. Number three, it is rumored that Fred Yehi is signing a contract with NXT soon and will be showing up in developmental.
Correct. That's definitely true. What was the second one? That's definitely true. Maybe he was replaced with a porn star, like, for an episode or something, but I don't think, yeah. Go ahead.
Wrong! Billy Corgan is not bringing back the Big Gold Belt. He's in charge of NWA, but he can't bring back the Big Gold Belt. It belongs to WWE. In fact, right. Pat Buck has been unceremoniously replaced on Conversations with the Big Guy. He's going to be starting up his podcast again. But
what?
It has not come out.
Okay.
So.
Interesting.
Yeah. It'll be kind of interesting to see how this. He's basically saying that in time he'll discuss it.
All right. I mean, it's very interesting, because as someone who listens to Conversations with the Big Guy all the time, and, you know, obviously I haven't been listening because pure terror. So it's strange, you know, they were really close and he was his agent and everything, so I can only imagine something business wise led to this, and you know, I guess, like you said, in time he'll discuss it.
All right, well, with that out of the way, I just want to encourage you to sit back and enjoy our interview with Rico De La Vega, Ring of Honor commentator. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show, Rico De La Vega. Rico, thanks for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me, Rich. It's a pleasure.
No problem, man. So, you know, let's start at the beginning. What got you interested in wrestling? What hooked you?
I mean, basically, you know, what booked me and look where my head's at right now. what hooked me initially was, you know, as a little kid, I was pretty hyper. You know, I was all over the place and stuff. So, you know, one of the things that my mom would do, she'd sit me in front of the TV. And I remember one evening she did. And when she plopped me down right in front of the TV, she tunes in and it's Saturday night main event. I'll never forget, the Ultimate Warrior was out. You know, boom, once I seen him, you know, just sprint down the ring, grab those ropes, shake them up, you know, just the energy, you know, all that the streamers, like the whole atmosphere just kind of lit up as soon as he ran out. And that energy right there kind of captured me. So I was like, oh, wow, what's this? You know, this is pretty interesting. So I kept going with it. It became a weekly thing. And I actually used to watch it with my mom. She would explain to me, you know, how she used to watch like Bruno Sammartino, Pedro Morales, you know, Bob Backlund, a bunch of like, you know, the old school ones. And, you know, so I can attribute it to my mom. She's basically the one that got me started watching wrestling. So, yeah, definitely all her.
That's amazing. Did she have any, you know, when I was growing up, my grandfather would watch it with me. He didn't get me into it, but he would watch it with me. And I knew he watched before because he would say stuff like, he didn't trust Jake the Snake. So during that whole Snake Warrior angle, I was like, no, man, Snake's trying to help him out, getting ready for Undertaker at WrestleMania 8. And he's like, I'm telling you, te lo digo. This guy is, you can't trust him. You can't trust him. Es una culebra. And then, sure enough, when Jake turned out to be, you know, not on, you know, working in Warrior's best interest, I was a little shocked.
Right.
But he was like, I told you. Do you, was your mom ever like so into it that there were times where it seemed like she really was in tune to the product?
Yeah. that to say she was just a fan is an understatement. You know, as Latinos, you know, we're very animated and, you know, as it is. So we're always speaking loudly and with our hands, you know, we want everybody's attention when we speak. So, I mean, to hear her, you know, scream at the top of her lungs if, you know, somebody did a run in on, you know, on Hulk Hogan or like, you know, one of the big faces at the time, it was like amazing. She's like, ah! Like, turn around. He's coming after you. You know, obviously, there are two different sides of the spectrum when you're talking about the era that she grew up watching, you know, like the guys I mentioned, like Bruno and you know, Arnie Scullin and all those. Mm-hmm. And then when we started watching together, it was roughly around where, you know, you had Hulk Hogan and I believe it was Hulk Hogan and Ultimate Warrior were main eventing that year at WrestleMania. So that goes to show I'm giving my age away, but at any event, but yeah, it was around that time. So it was a lot more spectacle. It was a lot more, you know, entertainment factor than there was back then. You know, back then you just used to walk out, you know, you whoop some ass and then you leave, you get the hell out of town, go to the next town, do the same thing. Now there's so much more theatrics when I started watching with my mom, where she was just like at the spectacle alone and seeing all the pyro and stuff. She was just like fascinated by that. So it was cool watching her, you know, express that. And then, like I said, whenever one of her guys was on, which her guys consisted of, you know, she had a big crush on Mr. Perfect and Shawn Michaels. Those were her dudes. So anytime, you know, anybody beat up Perfect, anybody beat up Shawn, she was in tears. I'm pretty sure you remember when Shawn lost his smile.
Oh, yeah.
and he passed out in the ring. Like, my mom was legit crying. And I was like, do I cry too? Like, what's going on? You know, I'm still a kid then. But yeah, my mom was so expressive in watching it. And I think that kind of fueled me even more to, you know, pursue it as a career as opposed to just be like a lifetime fan, you know? I saw the effect that it had on her and also the effect that it had on me. And I just wanted to go ahead and kind of, I want to make that happen for other people, you know?
Have you been able to have her at your matches?
No, not yet. Not yet. Unfortunately, Mama De La Vega lives in Miami.
Okay.
You know, I'm up here in Jersey, so like it's kind of difficult. Now, if I get a booking down in Miami, you know, I know a few guys down there. I train with Pablo Marquez down there at CCW, and as well as Gangrel, and that's pretty local to where my mother's at. So if I can get down there, you know, schedules work, definitely I'm getting her in front of me. You know what I mean? It's It's the one thing that I have to have, you know. I got to have my mom see me wrestle at least once.
Although, man, it's going to be tough for your mom to see you running as a heel and doing something you're not supposed to be doing while she's watching.
Of course. I mean, yeah, you know, every Puerto Rican mom raises their sons to be, you know, little gentlemen. And on top of that, you know, my mom's like a diehard Catholic. So me and my antics in the ring probably don't fly with her. But then again, you're talking to somebody who was a Mr. Perfect and was a Shawn Michaels fan.
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
what I'm
yeah,
saying?
Yeah.
So, like, you know, she could definitely appreciate a heel. So I'm pretty sure she'll be okay with it. You know, she'll give me some heckling and she'll probably talk some trash. But, you know, all in good fun. As long as I get that reaction, I know I did my job, you know?
Totally. So where did you start training at the Monster Factory? How long have you been down there?
Monster Factory, actually this past month I made 3 years at the Monster Factory. I started 2014, September of 2014. And yeah, it's been a good run so far.
What's been special, you're also training over at the dojo. So who are the, you know, who do you get to, pick their brain when you're, you know, training and kind of thinking about your next booking and things like that?
Oh God, I get to pick their brain. I mean, you know, being that the Monster Factory, one of the coaches is Punishment Martinez. He was one of the first ones to actually kind of take me under his wing when I first started. So, you know, a lot of my the stuff that I do and know in wrestling is attributed to him, because he has had a major influence on what I do. So I'm constantly always asking him for advice and critiques on certain things. So he's definitely somebody I hold in a high regard when it comes to stuff like that. Now, as far as like just the guys themselves, anytime I get a chance, I'm like, you know, if we're out, you know, doing a date for or a Ring of Honor or something, I'll see if I can talk to one of the boys, whether it's Silas Young or, you know, Kenny King or Bruiser, you know, one of those guys are like, hey, you know, I'll sit there and ask them tons of questions. Christopher Daniels is the ultimate guy to ask when you have any question in regards to professional wrestling. So to be able to be in the company of people like those with such a, you know, they're so knowledgeable in this business and have been around for so long, you know, like J. Mark Briscoe or some other ones as well that I ask for advice. You know, you got to ask everybody. A lot of people tend to appeal and lean more towards people that are more similar to their style, and I'm like, no, I mean, you know, if you see me in the ring, I'm nothing like the Briscoes. You know, I'm not all scruffy and all, you know, ready to go at the drop of a hat. You know, I'm more of I'm a suit and tie guy. So just because I'm a suit and tie guy doesn't mean that I'm gonna go ask Marty Scurll to, hey, how about you teach me this? Yeah. No, I'm gonna ask the Briscoes as well. You gotta know, you know, both ends of the spectrum. You have to know every single type of way to wrestle. So, you know, picking people's brains is definitely essential when it comes to, you know, growing in this business and getting better each day. But yeah, you know, given the connections, I guess you can say that I have, being that, you know, working for Ring of Honor and training at the Monster Factory, I have tons of people I can pick their brains, and it's I'm in a good place.
How did you come into your role in Ring of Honor right now as commentary?
Well, that occurred 1 year ago this month, actually a few days back. It was All-Star Extravaganza was coming up. It was All-Star Extravaganza 8 last year. And it was probably towards the end of August, early September. And I got a text message from Kevin Kelly, and he was just like, hey, Rico, you ever done Spanish commentary before? And I'm like, not really, but, you know, I do speak the language. Mm-hmm. And he was like, all right, cool. Your book, see you in Lowell. And I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah, All-Star Extravaganza and Lowell, you're going to be doing Spanish commentary. We're going to go ahead and set that up for you. It'll be on the Fight app, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, thank you. And then maybe like 5 minutes later, Hunter hits me up, you know, delirious. And he's like, hey, brother, you talked to Kevin? And I'm like, yeah. I was like, all right, well, kill it out there. I know you'll do great. And I'm like, sweet. Okay, cool. So, you know, and just like that. We got everything together. Maybe about a week later, I was already headed to Lowell, getting ready to call my first pay-per-view with Ring of Honor. You know, and it started out as just being full Spanish, and, you know, I've progressed from there. So it was definitely a great opportunity that was presented to me. And had I not taken it, trust me, I would not be anywhere near where I'm at now, you know, at this point in my career.
So what's it like? Do you call the matches differently in Spanish than you do in English?
Okay, see, that goes back to this whole, like I said, you know, Latinos, we're very animated. So obviously in Spanish, our delivery is so much different. Like, for example, if you watch a soccer game, like with Man U versus Chelsea, in comparison to, let's say, you know, one in Mexico, like Chivas versus America or something like that, you know what I mean? Somebody kicks a goal, he's got the goal! There goes, you know, whatever. I don't know people's names, but
yeah.
But like, for example, like, you know, somebody kicks a goal, it's just okay, whatever. But you're watching Mexican soccer or soccer, you know, from Central America, South America. Goal! I mean, I'm talking about it's a big deal. So, you know, you kind of have to add some emphasis on certain things because, you know, that's just what how the Spanish culture is. You know, we're very loud, we're very lively, we're very you know, we're out there. We make our presence felt.
Totally.
So, yeah, definitely. I add more of a dynamic when it comes to Spanish as opposed to when I'm doing it in English because, you know, with Ian Riccaboni, he's a bit soft-spoken. He does an excellent job, you know, not taking nothing away from him. But in comparison, he's very soft-spoken. So if I were to start being, you know, my loud, braggadocious, you know, Latin, arrogant Spaniard guy, you know, it would kind of overpower him, and that's what we're not trying to do. We're trying to keep that chemistry. But, you know, on the Spanish side, when you got two Latinos screaming at each other back and forth, it kind of makes sense.
Do you have a preference, one or the other?
What, to do commentary? Yeah. Honestly, it's not so much that I have a preference. It's just it's very two different ways of calling them. I enjoy both aspects. There's not really any cons to either one. So, you know, obviously I prefer doing the English simply because, you know, I get to rag on Ian Riccaboni a bit. that's always a good time. And but the Spanish just as well, you know, it's the only thing that I would want for the Spanish commentary, I would love to do it more often, and I would love for it to be something that that starts getting marketed more and more, you know, and hopefully, you know, we can accomplish that with the relationship that, you know, Ring of Honor now has with CMLL. So, you know, we'll see what we can make happen.
I think there are, you know, I mean, personally, I hadn't watched a lot of CMLL before the talent exchange. And I started watching it, and I speak Spanish, I understand it, but I never really listened to it in Spanish or watched events like that. So it was, like, brand new to me, and it's actually made the Ring of Honor shows more exciting because now that I'm watching CMLL, I'm like, oh, wait a minute. It's this guy, and this guy's coming out. Ultimo Guerrero's coming out. And, I mean, I think a year ago I didn't really care about Rey Bucanero, but now I've seen him so much that I do care about him. And I want Kemonito to come up too, and Zacharias. which would be ridiculous. So I think that...
personal favorite, El Terrible. Oh. That's my dude.
Oh, that guy's amazing.
That's my dude. El Terrible, that's the man right there. That's a whole other podcast in itself, but, you know, I digress.
Yeah. So moving forward, do you know if, like, the next I know they're having a pay-per-view for the Global Wars. Will you be calling that in Spanish for the fight?
I will. Yeah, basically every pay-per-view they have is going to be, you know, have the Spanish simulcast for the most part, unless otherwise, you know, anything is subject to change, of course. But yeah, for the bigger ones, like I know out in Vegas we had a Spanish commentary, you know, Best in the World for Final Battle, definitely. So yeah, coming up with the one we're going to do... where did that one at? I think it's actually in...
Is that the Chicago show?
Yeah, it's the Illinois one, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, once we do that one I need to check. I'm almost positive that we are going to have it, but, you know, like I said, you never know. But yeah, from here on out, they're trying to do that, because like I said, we're trying to establish that relationship with the CMLL fans, so that way they can get familiar with our product, and, you know, we can get the American market more familiar with CMLL.
Oh, completely. I mean, I think it's been successful so far, and I think the more that you guys, you know, kind of dip into that market, I think the more global the company will be overall. Do you
definitely?
What are your kind of goals for Ring of Honor right now? I know that you're wrestling Monster Factory. Would you be happy staying in commentary, or do you really want to get inside the ring?
I'm happy at commentary, but you know, obviously, when I was a kid, I didn't say, hey, when I grow up, I want to do commentary. That was never the goal. You know, it's kind of a role that I ended up just kind of getting into. Very happy with it. Love where it's going right now. Do I want to get in the ring? Hell yeah. I mean, who doesn't? You know, this is what drew me in the first place. I think what I'm trying to do at Ring of Honor is kind of transition. You know, I want to be known as that guy, since not too long ago, Bobby the Brain Heenan, you know, he just recently passed. I mean, he was that trifecta, that triple threat that I'm trying to get to as far as, you know, being a manager, being a commentator, being a wrestler. You know what I mean? It's not so much that I want to excel or be the best at all of them, but, you know, if I can dabble here, dabble there, you know, there's longevity to that. In this business, it's not about, you know, how long you could go for, but how many jobs you could do. Because if I'm not doing this, if I'm not doing commentary, I'm going to be in the ring, you know, wrestling. If I'm not wrestling, I could be outside managing somebody to wrestle. So if I'm not doing that, I could be in the back working the gorilla position. I could be helping with production. You know, you got to kind of get your hands in there. So, yeah, so ultimately the goal is to at least, yeah, get in the ring, roll around. Am I trying to be the next Jay Lethal? It'd be nice, but who knows? That may or may not happen. But at the end of the day, I just want to be able to say, hey, you know what? I've done commentary at Ring of Honor. I've also managed. I've also wrestled. I've done this. I've done that. And I'm still around. You know what I mean? It's all about staying relevant.
100%. When you're in the ring, what would you say, like, some influences are for your style?
The character, for me, the character itself is such an arrogant guy. When it comes to the ring, I rely a lot on my character, and that's something that you'll notice with a lot of the greats. Like, you know, I tend to kind of take bits and pieces from, like, say, like a Ric Flair, you know, his showmanship, you know, his arrogance with the woo, just strutting across the rings, things like that. You know, I like to take away from Razor Ramon, which obviously, you know, he was very pivotal. Even though he wasn't really Latino, he was very pivotal in the Latino movement and wrestling.
Heartbroken.
Yeah, when I found out, it was like finding out like Santa Claus didn't exist. I was like, oh no, Scott Hall? Nah, he's got to be like an import. Come on, is he half white? Like, what's going on?
That's what I was hoping. I was hoping.
No, not at all.
That was heartbreaking.
But yeah, it was devastating. But you know, at that time, he was the man, and he came out there with that swagger. And that's somebody that I try to take that from, that oozing machismo, the swagger that you have just walking out, you know, when he kind of like extended his arms as he were like just surfing down the aisle.
Yeah.
Like stuff like that. You know, I try to take bits and pieces from different guys because, you know, it's different elements of different things that make somebody unique. You just have to basically make it your own. That's what it comes down to. So, you know, I kind of try to embody different bits and pieces of people that I look up to, people that I've admired, or, you know, that are out now that have been out 20, 30 years ago, stuff like that. So that's kind of the route I go.
Well, that's fantastic. I mean, you know, best of luck. Congratulations on your last two milestones over here. If people want to follow you on social media, where can they find you?
For Facebook, you can just search Rico de la Vega, and that's Rico space Day space La space Vega. All right, and for Snapchat, long story, but it's Rico Banks, like, you know, not one bank, but a lot of banks. So it's Rico Banks PR, as in Puerto Rico. So Rico Banks PR, that's Snapchat. You can find me, you know, just taking pictures of random places I go or just doing some lip sync karaoke in the car. It doesn't matter. Let's get crazy. But yeah, that's how you can find me on social media.
All right, well, when's the next time fans can hear you or see you perform?
Anytime they tune in, the Future of Honor, Women of Honor. Ring of Honor, depending on what episodes. I don't have the schedule in front of me, but trust me, you're going to be hearing a lot of Rico coming very, very soon on your TV, whether it's on ROHWrestling.com, whether it's on YouTube, or whether it's actually on the Fight app. So you're going to be hearing lots of me. Just stay tuned.
All right. So just once again, thank you to Rico de la Vega. It was fun talking to him about how he got into the business, how he's been training, his work over at Ring of Honor on commentary, and just kind of going back and forth and sharing about, you know, our love of wrestling growing up. All right. So with that out of the way, I just want to remind you guys that you guys can follow us on Twitter at Running Wild LWOS. You can follow us on Facebook at Running Wild on Wrestling. You can email us any comments, questions, trivia to runningwild@podcast.gmail.com. You can follow me over at Rich_Laconi on Twitter. You can find my wrestling coverage of Ring of Honor over at ROHWorld.com and PWPonderings.com, as well as LastWordOnProWrestling.com. And please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe. Or, you know, tweet this out if you're enjoying the show. And leave a review. We want to know what you guys are thinking and how we can improve and make this more enjoyable for you guys each and every week. So with all that out of the way, I just want to remind you that you've been listening to the podcast that is just too sweet.
For Rich and Runs, this is the host of Ring of Honor Wrestling, Ian Riccaboni, signing off. Be sure to join them next week for another episode of the Running Wild podcast.